Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Might not be a daily dose. Could be a weekly dose. Some might say it's a yearly dose. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here, The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Call-in program, you are my guest. I was just checking my email there. Every day, 50, 60, 70 human resource people, publicists, query letters. I got a guest for you. I got a guest for you. I got a wonderful guest for you. No. I've got guests. My guests are you. You call. You don't have to have somebody representing you. You just represent yourself. If you have a question about some circumstance in your life, some situation that's perplexing you, something that's confounding you, something that's distressing you, or not even a situation that you think might help somebody else. We don't just take situations that are, oh, how shall we say, problematic or questionable. We want folks that can help other people out too. And as I've always said, I truly enjoy those suggestions from all you folks because I write them down. And I put them in books, and I make a lot of money. You're wonderful. Also, if you have a generic question about psychology or faith or something along those lines, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to do the high-level apologetic stuff that you hear in so many of the other programs, but where it interacts with psychology or living, see what we can do there. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Love to hear from you. Okay, a couple of items of business. Yes, I did want Logan to call me back, or Tyler to call me back, and then he went away. So let's see if we can get him again. I learned something about myself yesterday that I didn't like. Circumstances make that happen, which was I had forgotten my smartphone. I figured out where it was. I was riding the elliptical, and I put on Pandora so I could have some music, and there's a lot of research that says when you have music while you do aerobic exercise, there's a certain rhythmical component to it. You don't put on a waltz. You don't necessarily put on Mozart, but many pop songs have the rhythm that you can, depending upon how fast the song goes, that you can either push yourself or nick a nice leisurely pace. And I left the phone on the elliptical. And what I learned about me was that I was near panic stricken without my phone. Not actually. But I was uneasy about it. Who knows who could try to get a hold of me? The text messages, the calls. You know, if you're going to be a big shot, you got to have your phone with you, right? Well, I learned something else about me after I got my phone last night. I learned that there wasn't anybody who really thought it was that urgent to get a hold of me. I didn't have any texts. Oh, one maybe. Voicemails? One. So I think the more important thing I learned was don't get yourself thinking you're all that important. So my phone slapped me twice. And this analogy of a slap brings me to my monologue. Here's the monologue. Our Lord says if somebody slaps you, strikes you on your right cheek, give him your left as well. Many people have interpreted that to mean our Lord is a pacifist. We're supposed to be pacifists, right? I was always uneasy with that interpretation. There's another interpretation I've heard that I think makes more sense, especially in the context of what our Lord was talking about. In that Near East ancient world, a backhand slap across the cheek was an ultimate insult. You're useless. You're worthless. I'm disrespecting you. Given that most people are right-handed, a backhand slap would occur across the right cheek of the person standing facing you. What did our Lord say to do? Our Lord says, give him your left cheek as well. Was he saying, let him slap you again? I don't think so. It seems to me that he was saying, don't be distressed by their attempt to make you feel worthless. I think that's brilliant advice. Well, obviously, who am I to? I mean, obviously, the Lord's God, so of course he's going to give me brilliant advice. He's saying, don't give other people the power to make you feel worthless. You're not worthless. My Father says you're not worthless. My Father says you have infinite value. And so when someone insults you, and let's extrapolate this to today. Most people are not going to insult you by slapping you across your cheek. They're going to insult you with words. They're going to say things to make you feel inept, incompetent, disrespected, put down, worthless. You know this. And you also know that most likely that is coming from people that you are somewhat close to in your social circle, a spouse or a parent or an adult child. So, given that, our Lord says, don't allow that to have that effect on you. Or if you want to use the word impact, don't allow it to have that impact on you. If somebody insults you terribly, slaps you on your right cheek, in essence, say so. Give me your left. I'm not going to distress myself over what you say that's insulting or disrespectful. The only thing you really have to worry about is what they say is true. But if it's insulting and disrespectful, you can almost assume it's not true because it's nasty. More likely, if somebody's going to tell you something about yourself you don't want to hear that's true, they're going to do it diplomatically or delicately. But abusive talk, mean talk, nasty talk, put down talk, all of that stuff, our Lord is saying you don't have to let that affect you.
Oh, yeah, right, Dr. Ray. That's easier said than done.
Yes, it is. It is easier said than done. But if you don't at least say it to begin with, like one of our calls is going to direct me toward, then you'll never do it. So I've always really, really been attracted to that particular interpretation. All right. When we come back, on to the phones, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is The Logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, "Appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. There are a lot of things we can't not know. Take gravity, for instance. When you put your foot down, it stays there, unless your spouse pulls out the rug you're standing on. Gravity is not just a good idea, of course. It's the law, a natural law. And you can't change natural laws. They are what keeps the universe in order. For instance, gravity reminds you not to step off a cliff without suffering painful and life-threatening consequences. Ah, law and order. Something to appreciate. Today, tell someone you appreciate God's laws and His order that keeps you grounded. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, 877-573-7825, 877-57. Equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Tyler from Logan, Ohio, is doing as I asked. I'm not used to that. Yesterday, he called because he was going to have a meeting at his kid's school regarding the whole mask mandate for kids. And my prediction was that they weren't gonna want to address it. They weren't gonna want to discuss it, or that if even Tyler brought it up, they would either reject his opinion or simply neutralize it. Apparently that's what happened. Hi, Tyler.
Dr. A.
So when you brought it up, what did you hear?
Well, I think you can look into the future because you are 100% right. They shot it down before it was even addressed. They made a point to say that they do not discuss matters like that during PTA. PTA is only for fundraising.
It is. Huh? I never heard that. The PTA is only for fundraising. Boy, I didn't know that. I thought PTA had their hands in a lot of things for the kids' welfare.
Yeah, that's what we thought too, but they made a point to say that any procedures or anything like that must be brought to the principal and to the pastor.
Okay. And who said this in this PTA meeting?
That would be the president.
Okay. So clearly the president says this is not something we're even going to entertain because it's a done deal.
That's what it kind of sounded like, yes.
Mm-hmm. I saw a fascinating statistic, and I always get in trouble. There's an irony here. Anytime I have even remotely offered statistics that are indisputable, statistics are indisputable. I don't sit here and go, okay, I'm going to cherry pick this piece of research. I'm going to cherry pick that, which I've been accused of doing. Anytime I do that, invariably I'm going to get emails. I'm going to get emails that say to me, you know, either I'm not a Christian, or this is not what Jesus would do, or, you know, how dare you not care about other people. It just really kind of nasty stuff. And the irony here, Tyler, is that of any subject I've talked about on this show, anything, abortion, you know, killing a baby, Anything that has to do with cultural morals or anything, I do not get the pushback that I get if I even remotely address something regarding COVID. I'll give you a small example. Yesterday, the CDC put out some statistics, and I believe it was under age 20. They did it by decade of living, the odds of a person dying if they contract COVID. Now, the odds of contracting COVID are still very low, but even if they contract it, the odds of not surviving it. I think it was under 20 was your survival rate was 99.997. So,
wow.
Yeah. So if you contract it, now somebody's going to say, that's okay, because you can give it to other people. Well, that's still debatable now. That's the other problem I have. Somebody wrote me once and they said, well, you know, we can all just cite our own research. And I wanted to write back and say, you're making my point. Because if the research is questionable, contradictory, all over the map, which pretty much everybody will agree it is, although except those mm-hmm. people who say, the science is settled, the science is settled. Science is never settled. But the science is settled, then if the research disputes itself, then we're making draconian cultural, religious moves that are having tremendous effects on people's well-being, mental health, all manner of other physical pathologies. We're making those decisions. Now, if one wants to say, yeah, I guess we are, okay, then say it. I'm not saying we're not. I'm just simply saying. And then some lady said to me, I know I'm ranting now, forgive me. Some lady said to me, well, then what would you do, Dr. Ray, in the email? And I said, well, I would probably do what they've done in the past, which is if you're afraid of this and if you're at risk, you quarantine yourself. But you right. don't say to the whole population, including 7-year-olds, that you all. And then I said something like house arrest. And this individual says, that's an extreme statement. Nobody was on house arrest. And I didn't write back, but I wanted to say, oh, of course they were. Because if you are even in the same church as someone who tested positive with COVID, I don't care where they sat, I don't care if you had any contact with them, you now have to quarantine for 14 days in some parishes.
Yep.
That's house arrest.
Yep.
And
yep.
you have to stay in your bedroom. Or your basement. That's house arrest. On the basis of what? Not that you have the illness, which is the way it used to be, but the fact that you even remotely came close to someone, not even close. I've had all kinds of ball players. I coach ball teams. I've had all kinds of ball players tell me, yeah, I can't play. Why not? I'm on 14-day quarantine. Why is that? Well, somebody tested positive where I work. What? Jeez. So for 14 days, they're on house arrest. All right. Anyway, I've ranted enough. I've ranted enough here, Tyler, to get me some more ugly emails. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
No problem. Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
All right, buddy. All righty. Talking of anger issues. Did it sound like I did? Anonymous call from Alabama. Okay, line one is there. Okay, that other anonymous is not there anymore. Okay. Anonymous from Alabama. And I don't even know if that's the state because, hey, could be hiding there too. Hi, Anonymous from Alabama, or Al from Anonymous. How are you?
I could be better.
All righty. Why could you be better?
Hey, I guess I have anger issues. I don't know. I think it's mostly like it goes on in my head. Like, I try to control my thoughts, and I think I'm pretty good with smaller things, but when a big thing happens, I just lose it mentally, like, in my head. Like, I will try to, like, go and, like, not act out. Like, for example, yesterday, I was at a church with my outdoor church with my boyfriend, and I was this the woman was, she called him out, and apparently she knew him, and I got really jealous, and I just left to the restroom, and I was trying to, like, control myself, because I didn't want to, like, go over there, and, like, I was afraid that I was going to make a scene, so I was just, like, in my head, I was trying to, like, calm down, and then I just pictured myself, like, beating this girl up. And then I was like, okay, calm down, you're ridiculous. But then when I came out, I was asking my boyfriend who the bleep she was. And afterward, I was like, I thought to myself, wow, like, if I'm like in the house of God, like, what's wrong with me that I can't control myself? Like,
Anonymous, you said something very interesting in your first three sentences. You said that by and large, you're pretty good at not responding with anger or anger thoughts if it's not a big deal. But when it's something big, you have trouble. And I was waiting to hear, because I was going to ask, but then you gave me an illustration. I was waiting to hear what you decided something big was. And you decided that the situation with some woman, girl, whatever, who, I don't know, said something about your boyfriend, called him out, whatever. You decided that was big.
Well, I guess because she knew him or she knows him from somewhere, and he said that he didn't know her.
Okay, so you decided the whole situation was questionable and it was big. There is part of the problem. That's not big. That's not big. That's somebody that said something stupid. Or that's somebody that said something wrong or insulting or even lied. Okay. Now, you could say, I don't like that. You could say, I wish you wouldn't have done it. But for you to get yourself so upset about it that you had to go into the bathroom and calm yourself down, the first thing I think you got to do is ask yourself, what meaning am I giving to this? In other words, was my boyfriend disloyal? Was this a past girlfriend? Who does she think she is? My boyfriend's not like that. Whatever it was you were telling yourself in your head got you that distressed. The fact that she said some dumb thing, you could have just as likely said, well, I don't know who she is, but that doesn't make any sense, and that's dumb, and he says he doesn't know her. All right. You could have done that, but you didn't. So your anger is coming from the fact that someone or something is not acting as you think they should. In your mind, that woman shouldn't have done that. But she did. And in your mind, you shouldn't have had to put up with that. But it happened. And in your mind, you started to fantasize about punching her out, which you know better and you weren't going to do. But it bothered you that you even thought that. What is wrong with me? I'm in the house of God, or I'm near the house of God, and I want to punch somebody out. Am I weird or what? No. I think I might have had the same temptation if I would have upset myself with those thoughts like you did. Because that's what happened. So here's what you got to do. When you find yourself getting angry, you don't say, what is this situation that's making me angry? You say, how am I looking at this situation that is making me angry? What meaning am I giving to it that's making me take it so personally or making me get so distressed? Because, well, this just shouldn't happen. This shouldn't be. I don't deserve this. That's the key to it, my dear. Thank you very much. Thank you for being open enough to say, yep, I don't like those thoughts. And I wouldn't like them either. So start to identify them. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Number to call to get on to the program. I'm Dr. Ray. I thank you. Thank you for joining me here.
to communion.
Through Edmonton Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The breadth of power that liberal governors such as Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan and Andrew Cuomo in New York seek to wield against private citizens during this current pandemic is frightening. Contrary to their views, our federal constitutional rights don't go away in an emergency. These governors feel only a nominal constraint by our Constitution, as evidenced by the restrictions they have imposed on our liberty. Under the banner of public health, they believe that their power is plenary and that the Constitution has little role, if any, in curtailing that power. They are mistaken. Indeed, there is no pandemic exception to the fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. If the courts, and more importantly, we the people who ultimately control the fate of these politicians at the ballot box, were to simply accept the governor's actions and acquiesce to their power grab, then it is the fiat of the governors and not the Constitution that is the supreme law of the land. We aren't willing to surrender our freedoms so easily. We filed multiple federal civil rights lawsuits against both governors in federal courts in Michigan and New York. In the final analysis, if we don't demand our God-given inalienable rights, then they will be lost. Fight for freedom or lose it. It's that simple. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Just got a notice here that today is a National Day of Prayer. That came from Maureen in North Dakota. And also, this is an initiative of Acts 29, Father John Ricardo, from Father John, who said, just wanted to share with you the story which was aired tonight on one of our local stations here in Detroit. Encouragement, Detroit priest calling for National Day of Prayer and Fasting. Yeah, we got to pray. That is the biggest arrow in our quiver that we can use, okay? You can pray and fast for the rest of the day. Okay. Oh, okay. Already. And I don't know, Margo, I'm going to ask you to be patient because you were next up. But Chris, who disagrees with me, and I knew this was going to happen. It always happens. And I don't know how people interpret it this way. I'm just flummoxed by so many people who hear it this way. Chris says, I just aggravated her. She says, I feel, Dr. Ray, like you think this whole COVID thing is all a bunch of hooey. I never have ever said anything to that effect. I have always said we need to look at the whole picture. We need to look at the percentage of risk. We need to look at the byproducts, the unintended effects, the unintended victims, and the fact that this is one thing that really amazes me. The pandemic response has killed churches. It has absolutely killed them. Every pastor will tell you that. And yet religious people are saying, well, you know, we got to just continue to do what they're telling us to do. No matter the fact that it has taken church attendance down by about 2/3. But somehow that's okay. Chris, let me have it. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's not okay with me either. Totally not okay. I'm scared to death about that.
Well, then why do you think that we should just simply say whatever they're telling us is completely and totally true? I was with a very highly respected friend who is a medical director out in California, and he said to me today, he goes, this is so political. He said, the medical issue here is so questionable now. So what is it that you heard me say that I thought this was all a bunch of hooey?
Because it sounds to me like you're saying we shouldn't wear masks to protect ourselves. Are you saying that?
I didn't say that. What I have said at most is, first of all, that people have said masks have stopped the spread. And I have said, from a research perspective, you can't say that. And the reason you can't say that is because there's too many other variables that you haven't controlled for. Any researcher with 101 knowledge will tell you that. So people are just simply saying the masks have stopped the spread. However, before all these mask mandates kicked in, the virus was going down in its death rate in particular. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, in Florida, they don't have this. They don't have this at all. They're pretty much wide open in Florida. They haven't experienced a surge. A lot of the foreign countries haven't either. What? How do you explain that? Okay, so anybody who wants to wear a mask, wear it. All right, that's their business. But here's my problem. For people to say in positions of supposed authority and knowledge, you have to do this, no matter what, because we say so.
I don't hear it that way. I hear him saying that we have to do it to be safe.
Well, I hear that too. I hear them saying that too, Chris. And I'm saying they haven't proven that. That's all I'm saying. That may be, but I'm saying you can't prove it. And there's plenty of other places where it's not happening and there hasn't been the surge. So what does that leave us with? Interestingly enough, a high-profile governor, and this is the other thing that bothers me. High-profile governor, won't mention any names, when he proposed a statewide mask mandate, he said, please, please, people, 4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks of mask wearing, and we will conquer this. That's all I'm asking. Okay, so everybody said, all right, got it. All right, that's fair enough. We'll do that. Well, that was 10 weeks ago. And that governor most recently said, you're going to be in the mask until we have a vaccine and until we think enough people have taken it. So all of a sudden, they just kind of keep changing the perspective. That's the problem I have. See, I start to doubt people when they do this. I'm not saying the virus isn't dangerous. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just simply saying that the response to it has caused an unbelievable amount of cultural, religious, and pathological damage. All the stats on suicide, depression, anxiety, even physical problems are bouncing off the charts. So at some point, when do we say, okay, let's look at this in a broader perspective other than just. Go look at the CDC. They now came out with the percentage of risk involved on different age groups. And you have to get to almost 60 years of age before you even move beyond 99.9% survival rate. So that's my question. I have a wonderful quote from C.S. Lewis that talks about this, and I'm going to do it in a future show. Chris, I understand where you're coming from. And if you want to wear a mask, if you want to quarantine yourself, God bless you. You have every right to do that. You can do whatever you wish. You cannot attend church.
Not that I want to. And I definitely don't want to quarantine. Don't want to do that.
But you understand. You understand that if, in fact, somebody thinks that you have a contact trace, you're going to have to quarantine. You're going to have to go for 14 days in your house, and you can't come out. And you're not ill. It's just that the chance that you might have been in sufficient enough distance to contract the virus. Since when have we ever done that? That's my point. I'm just saying I'd just like to see some balance to this, but I am devastated by what they've done to the churches. They have succeeded.
I agree with you there. I definitely agree.
Well, then here's your question. If you agree that they have devastated the churches and devastated church attendance.
No, I'm not saying they have. I think this COVID has done it.
No, the response to COVID has done it. So, given they said, the people in charge, the governors and the health people and the folks who are making these decisions, given that they've said this is how we have to respond to this, and given that, for example, in Nevada, where they allow the casinos to be open at limited capacity, but they allowed it to be open. You can't have a church service with more than 25 people in the whole state. In the whole state. Now, see, for me, I look at something like that and say, given the statistical risk, we're going to say that's okay. We don't have to go to church. We don't have to go to Mass. We don't have to get the Eucharist. How many priests have not gone to the nursing homes and have not been able to give people last rites? How many old folks have died alone? How many have deteriorated? On and on and on it goes, my dear. That's what I'm saying. Am I passionate about it? I sure am, because I hate to see what's happening to our culture. We're going to look back on this, and we're going to say, what were we doing? Thank you for the call. Margo, you're up next. 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What does the Ninth Commandment forbid? The Catholic Catechism says the Ninth Commandment warns against carnal concupiscence, sins against the flesh. What is concupiscence? It is the consequence of original sin. Though baptism purifies the soul of all sin, it does not remove our tendency toward sin. In this rebellion of the flesh against the Spirit, as defined by St. Paul, we must develop purity of heart. The desire always to do the will of God, especially in the area of charity and chastity. Purity requires modesty. Modesty protects the intimate center of a person. It refuses to unveil what should be hidden. Modesty guides how you look at others and behave toward them. It should dictate one's choice of clothing so as not to exploit or tempt another. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Oh, you're playing that music just to kind of calm me down, right, Andrew? You just decided, okay, a little chill music. Thank you for joining me here. As you can tell, I'm rather passionate about this because as a psychologist, I've seen the devastation. I see it in my clients. I see it people with depression. I see it kids with depression, anxiety. It's awful. It's off the charts. And the question that has to be asked is it warranted? Is it warranted? That is the debate. And it is a debate. It is debatable. Unfortunately, too many people are just going, no, it's not even questionable. Nope. I have a question for you folks. People listening to this program and people listening to Catholic media, by and large, don't trust the media, do you? So why do you trust them so thoroughly on something like this? That's all. It's my question. Margot has an estranged relationship with her adult son. Treats her pretty bad, you know? Treats her pretty bad. Hi, Margot.
Hi, how are you today?
I dated a girl when I was a junior named Margot. Still remember her. She was a nice girl. Always remember that name. And as a matter of fact, she was probably, you're probably about in the same age group there anyway. When did you graduate high school? Are you allowed to say?
I am allowed to say. I'm very proud to be 63.
Oh, you're just a pup. You'd be younger than the Margot I dated right now. So your adult son does he live with you?
No, he's married with three children. We've been estranged for a little while. I listen to you all the time about how, you know, adult children are treating their parents just so differently than how they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like the duck, but he's not the duck. But anyway, I get to see my grandchildren once a month.
That's the limit they put on it?
That's the limit they put on it with COVID.
Okay.
I cannot, they want me to virtually go to church. I do attend Mass. They don't want me to take the children unless I virtually watch it on TV and not receive the Eucharist.
So they think that you'll give COVID to the children.
Yeah, they're living totally in fear.
Okay.
And I keep explaining to them, you know, we're 6 feet apart. Everybody wears a mask. They even get the Eucharist away with a tweezer. I mean, the priest doesn't even give the Eucharist with his hands. He gives it with a tweezers. So, yeah, it's just I'm abiding by the rules. I agree 100% what you're saying about the church, that, you know, they got us under house arrest, if you will. And, yeah, so I'm not allowed to see the children unless I go to virtual Mass.
You're stuck. Really, Margot, you're stuck.
I have a real issue with it.
You're stuck. And you're stuck because they set the terms. And you can say, I can try to convince them that this is just really a hyper overreaction. Unfortunately, I'm hearing this from so many grandparents that their young adult children are saying, you can't come around. And if you do come around, here is the conditions. And this is how we expect you to live your life if you expect to see your grandchildren. And I guess the only thing I can say to you, dear, is don't fight them. Don't argue with them. Just follow their terms, quietly be submissive, because there's nothing you're going to do about it. They control the situation, you know.
You're right.
It's sad, and this is just one of the many byproducts of this response, and the chances of you, especially if you're watching where you're going and how you're doing it, giving COVID to those children, which in any way will affect those children, are minuscule. They're so small. But yet, that, like you say, they've just decided that, in fact, this is worth you not even seeing your grandkids. I'm so sorry for that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to weather it. And I hope that at some point, and I'm now beginning to doubt this, by the way. I don't have a positive view of this. That at some point, some kind of rationale, no, bad word, rationality is going to enter back in. And we won't be just motivated by this pervasive, suffocating fear. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. I'm going to take another one here. Oh, yeah, Mary. I said this back in the very beginning when they shut the churches down. I said I did not suspect that the churches will ever recover their attendance, even after it's all over. And the reason I said that is because, one, you kind of got out of the routine, you know. Church ain't something for Sundays anymore, and it's kind of like, I kind of like this, having this Sundays free. And I also said that the whole idea that church is a grave moral obligation for Catholics to attend Mass on Sunday, that's not been a high profile issue. It's not been preached, and so most people are probably not even aware that it's a grave obligation. Hi, Mary. Thanks for the call.
Oh, hi. You're going to crack up at this. My husband and I are headed to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania right now. My first name is Mary.
I like
when
it.
When I called in, I said,
that's cute.
That's funny, but his name isn't Joseph, it's Craig. You were just mentioning it, and maybe while I was on the phone with the guy who checks us out, we are seeing in upstate New York that although we're allowed to go back to church, and we're allowed to go back to Mass, we can sit in our car, we can sit in the church, we're social distancing, we're following healthy things, you know, washing our hands with antiseptic. But anyway, what we're seeing now that we can't go back is nobody's coming to church. And it's like, what the heck is going on with Catholics? And my husband, who is a convert, said it's almost like Protestantism. You can pick and choose if you go to church because the Holy Father said he's removed the Sunday obligation.
The Vatican came out. The Vatican came out last week, I believe it was, maybe the week before, and said, encourage Catholics, get back to Mass. Okay, that's.
But is it still a grave obligation?
That's usually up to the bishops.
Just go back to church.
It's up to the bishops, and as far as I know, an awful lot of the bishops have said right now there's no obligation to attend Mass. Okay. Oh, is that right, Andrew? Andrew informs me that perhaps Wisconsin has made it now an obligation, but none of the others have. You're right.
We're from the Albany Diocese, and I honestly don't know. I haven't heard it, and our priest just left last weekend. We haven't gotten a new one yet.
I think.
But the thing that we're seeing is almost like.
Doesn't surprise
are
you
me. Starving for Jesus? Because
no.
We were.
There was originally
starving for the Eucharist.
A view among people, and I think this would be more prominent among Catholic media listeners, that people they're going to rush back to church as soon as they're allowed. They want to get the Eucharist. They want to have confession. They want to have all that's involved in the community. They can't wait to get back. Boy, there's going to be this swell. And I said, that's not going to happen. I said, the vast majority of people have either gotten out of the habit or are afraid. And
Well, we know where fear comes from.
Well, sure. And,
we know where it comes from, and that plays a big part in all of this.
Yeah, we're a very, very risk-averse society now. It's kind of funny, too, because back in 1968, I think it was the Hong Kong flu, it was devastating. I mean, it killed 100,000 people, and according to the population then, ratio-wise, that'd be about 170,000 today. So not that much less than COVID so far. Well, there was nothing of any of this that happened. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. And I think a large part of it was we've become so fearful in so many ways about everything. And it's kind of sad. I have a wonderful quote from C.S. Lewis that I'm going to save for a future show. But he talks about this kind of fear among Christians. Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much for the call. Andrew, am I past break? Did I go past break? Break time? All righty. A lot of calls up there. As I said, if I don't get to you, you're first up for sure. Future shows. This is Dr. Ray.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at solidarityhealthshare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Feel bad about not getting all the calls. Some culturally COVID-related. And this one is tangentially related. It's Mary from Indiana, and it's pretty heavy. Her daughter, has been afflicted with brain cancer, and she right now is in a relapse, and Mary's taking care of the kids. And, of course, there's the constrictions regarding the COVID response with masks and canceling vacation. And, Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
You got a load there.
We met when you came to speak here at our church, and I just wanted to say, you know, thanks. You're always somebody who is... I like your common sense. But anyway, yeah, I mean, since I saw you, my daughter is got diagnosed with cancer and went through all her treatments last year and got a clean bill of health toward the end of the year. But then starting, you know, right about the time the pandemic started, had a relapse and struggling with this. And so we're basically doing the same thing all over again. And then we just found out a couple of days ago that her chemo's not working, and so they're going on to other things. And so, you know, we're all pretty scared. She's got five kids. She's 38, and we've been caring for her kids when she's had, in, you know, numerous hospital stays and different things like that. So we're blessed that we're all together in the same town and all that. But, you know, it's been an especially difficult time because of the stupid pandemic. And, you know, I told somebody that if I found out it was a big hoax, or not a hoax, but, you know, they made a bigger deal than it is, I'm going to go wring the neck of whoever did that. But anyway, because, I mean, the kids have had so many disappointments. You know, they missed out on vacations they were looking forward to because of the pandemic. But then now, because mom's sick, they've just missed out on the makeup of the makeup, you know. And it isn't just that. It's just a lot of things. And, I don't know. It's just, you know, trying to balance the fact that, you know, my daughter obviously wants to spend as much time as she can because, you know, we don't know what the future brings. And nor do we normally. But then, you know, the kids are kids, you know, and they're looking forward to the game.
Mary, are you living there?
We all live in the same town, but yeah, basically I spend most of my time living at their house, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All
now
my waking hours and when they're in the hospital 24/7. Yeah.
You asked how to stay positive with all this, and I'm going to choose a different word. I think your word is heroic. You are doing everything you can to stabilize that family, to give those kids good times with their grandma, filling in some of the gaps in what has been shut out for them, in what would be a normal existence where they could, in fact, take enjoyment out of little things, going to school and sports activities and all of that. So that's your role, Mary. You're making a bad situation less bad. I don't know if there's any way you can make it a good situation, given everything your poor daughter is dealing with and given the five kids. But the fact that you're there as grandma puts you in a position to truly be, I think, heroically servant. You got to look at it that way. You got to say, I'm getting my positives and my uplifting, the grace, from being on the scene. I've been allowed to be on the scene. I'm a first responder.
Absolutely. Right.
That's what you are, dear. And you got to keep telling yourself that. And you got to quit putting pressure on you that says, I've got to make it better. I've got to make it better. I've got to do it. No,
yeah.
Don't do that to yourself. You are there and you naturally will make it better just because you're there. Because you sit down and you have lunch with the kids. Or you take them somewhere and you enjoy where you took them and you went shopping with them or whatever you did, you know. So that, I think that's such a key, Mary. You, God bless you. That's amazing.
Thanks, Dr. Ray.
You're welcome, honey. You're more than welcome. Okay, thank you. And if those of you still on the line, please, you can call back. You will be first up. Abby, who says, "Oh man, it's hard to leave my house." And Carrie, if you want some answers to that, go call Catholic Answers. They will give you some good direction on that. Or call Father Larry, when he's on the air here with EWTN or Colin Donovan or John Martinoni, all those guys, they know what they're talking about. So they would have a good suggestion on the directions to go for your daughter on that. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, producer man, and Eric Dumont. Just got to pronounce it that way. I can't say Dumont. Dumont. And thank you for the company. Walk with God. Hold him by the hand. You hold God by the hand, you don't have to wash your hands. You know that, don't you?
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.